In the dark corners of the internet, where Morgulons bloom like mushrooms after a rainstorm, and the line between reality and illusion blurs like a smudged pencil sketch, there lurks season 13 of More Morgulons! This season, hold on to your tinfoil hats, dear listeners, as we dive into the mysterious and utterly bonkers world of the season of the Stalker. But fear not, for this is no ordinary Stalker. Oh no! This one's got a penchant for leaving cryptic clues in the form of glittery hexagons, black goo, and the occasional feather. Join me, your intrepid host, Crystal Clear, who, armed with nothing but a magnifying glass, a pair of tweezers, and an unshakable sense of humor, will attempt to unravel the tangled web of the Glitter Stalker. Will we be led on a wild goose chase to uncover the hidden meaning behind neon-colored triangles? Or will we finally answer the age-old question? Can you truly fear a stalker who uses confetti as a calling card? Tune in, chuckle and chortle along, and maybe, just maybe, you'll uncover the truth. More Morgulons, the Season of the Stalker, Season 13. It promises twists, turns, and an absurd amount of borax. It's going to be a season filled with more questions than answers, and definitely more laughs than scares. So grab your favorite cigarette and dim the lights. Now turn on a black light, and you see all that shit? What is that? No, seriously, what's growing on my face and is all over my clothes? It's very weird. I did not expect this. Because in season 13, the only thing you can expect is the unexpected. To those who find themselves unwilling hosts to a hidden audience, an intimate theater within their very veins, where hundreds of silent observers have taken their seats without invitation, this message is for you. Your bodies, once sovereign lands, now echo with the whispers of implantable biosensors, an invisible chorus bearing witness to the symphony of your biological rhythms. This intrusion, this breach of your inner sanctum, is not just a theft of privacy, but a profound violation of the sacred trust that exists between the self and the sanctity of one's own flesh. These devices, coursing through you, monitoring, recording, analyzing, transform you into unwilling participants in an experiment that blurs the line between the autonomy of the individual and the curiosity of the observer. Imagine for a moment that your every heartbeat, every rush of blood, every flicker of neural activity is under surveillance. The intimacy of your own biological processes, once the dialogue between you and the silent workings of your body, now broadcast to unknown receivers. This is not just an invasion, it's an occupation of the most personal kind. Yet, in this darkness, remember, the indomitable spirit that resides within you, your thoughts, your dreams, your essence, these remain yours and yours alone. The biosensors may map the chemistry of your body, but they cannot chart the vastness of your inner universe, the boundless terrain of your soul. To stand against such an intrusion is to affirm the inviolable connection between privacy and freedom. It is to declare that despite the unwelcome guests within, your will remains your own, your thoughts unspoken, your dreams untracked. In this act of defiance, you reclaim not just the privacy of your bodies, but the freedom of your very beings. In solidarity, let this be a call to recognize the invincibility of the human spirit, a testament to the resilience that thrives even in the shadow of unwelcome surveillance. Together, let's stand as guardians of our inner worlds, preserving the sanctity of our personal spaces against the encroachments that seek to diminish our freedoms. All right, it's that time again. We're going to the comment cave, and this time it's full of hate mail. Well, it's not totally full. There's actually just a couple of emails from this lady.
I don't like to hear you spread misinformation to listeners who are desperate and impressionable and who undoubtedly aren't as intelligent as you. So I want to correct your statement about antibiotics being ineffective treatment for Lyme disease. Lyme disease is in fact caused by bacteria, which means, of course, that antibiotics are indeed efficacious in the treatment of Lyme disease. It's bordering on cruelty for you to say otherwise when you know, or ought to know, better. If you're speaking for those without a voice, speak honestly. Otherwise, you are no better than the quacks you rightfully, although perhaps disingenuously, revile. I think if you attended psychotherapy, you would discover that your fixation on Morgellons represents the ongoing effects of your unhealed trauma. There's something inside you that sometimes expels itself in ways that unsettle and surprise you. Your fear of China's takeover represents your belief that the alternative to honestly confronting the unhealed parts of your past would be more ruinous than continuing to live with them. I think your belief is mistaken. Pain demands to be felt, Crystal. You're making jokes about it on air, where you have a sense of faraway and effectively anonymous community. But in your personal life, you're letting the pain that demands to be felt encircle you in a bubble of isolation that no one, aside occasionally, when it suits you, for Tom, can penetrate. I thank God you have ticking Tom bomb. I pray to God you remember to do things that make your friendship at least half as high quality a source of goodness and comfort for him as it is for you. With love, anger, gratitude, hate, and all the other various and opposing strong emotions you inspire in your personal devotees. Lolita.
Lolita, wow, thank you for your thought-provoking and exquisitely written email. I look forward to sharing it on the show. Thank you for listening, and thank you for adding your voice to the rich tapestry of weirdness that is Morgellons. Let me know if you'd like to talk more. Welcome back to More Morgellons, where we peel back the layers of the unexplained and unwanted. I'm your host, Chris Clear, and in today's episode, we're venturing into the tangled web of gang-stalking, peculiar world of Morgellons. But wait, there's a twist. We've got an episode so captivating, even my own personal stalker couldn't resist tuning in. That's, you heard it right. We've got a special one today, folks. A stalker who's so dedicated, they've gone undercover as a listener. Talk about commitment to the cause. So lock your doors, check under your bed, and maybe double tap that block button. Because today, we're unraveling the mystery of the most elusive fan I never wanted to meet. And yet I know. But don't worry, we're not just here to share stalker spooky tales. We're also diving deep into the effects of stalking on victims and shining a light on the dark corners of this phenomenon. So whether you're here for the mystery, the support, or just to make sure you're not the stalker we're talking about, you're in the right place. Let's unravel this mystery together and maybe, just maybe, give our uninvited guests a reason to think twice. And stay tuned.
Your brand is A, criticism and mockery of others, including respected and highly credentialed medical institutions, and I'm not saying the criticism and mockery are undeserved, and B, celebration of your own intelligence and hilarity. And again, I'm not disputing either of those things. I won't be listening to your show where you are sure to ridicule my dissident voice. I wish things were different. I wish, for example, that you would use your wit, incisiveness, and boundless ability to entertain for a purpose less pointless than pointing out episode after episode that an ailment with no cure has no cure. You could, for example, expose the medical industrial complex. I know you've considered it. Why don't you? Is it likewise an ailment without a cure? That hasn't stopped you endlessly, sometimes sloppily, investigating Morgellons. At least we know the specific infectious agent of the mental healthcare industrial complex. You probably know it by the name of the company writing your paychecks. I hope that isn't why you've chosen silence over exposure. I trust you. I feel that you truly do care about the suffering of the marginalized, the derogated, and the disbelieved. thank you for speaking for some of them. Thank you, at least, for possibly considering raising your voice even louder, raise it to scream if you please, and broadening your subject matter to include the sorrow and misery you see professionally. With gratitude and clarity of your power and innocence, Lolita.
All right, listeners. Lolita, as I suspected by the first email that she sent me, is really Amelia, as was confirmed by the second email she sent me. Amelia, for those of you who have not been listening to this show since the beginning, is a woman I dated for about a year in 2021 and who I fell in love with and who I thought loved me until I discovered that she had been stealing money from me behind my back to the tune of thousands of dollars for like 9 months before I noticed. Amelia, who, subsequent to me dumping her ass like a bad habit, has been stalking me for like 2 fucking years almost. It is truly terrible to be stalked. And many of you may know this. You know this personally because you are also being stalked. Perhaps you are being stalked by a gang. I, fortunately, am being stalked by one. I don't know if I feel very fortunate about it, though. First of all, let me just say something in regards to the allegations and obnoxious misinformation. I have never, ever on this show, I have said a lot of fucking things and there are a lot of fucking episodes of this show, but I have never, ever, ever said that Borrelia burgdorferi could not be treated with antibiotics. I know that there are some of you out there listening who say, no, antibiotics don't work against Lyme disease. That's why I've had it for 7 years. Listen, I don't know about your story. I don't know whether or not there is a type of long chronic Lyme that can't be successfully treated with antibiotics. I'm sorry if there is. I hate that for you. I hope that something works soon. But when it comes to just good old Lyme disease, just good old tick spit, wash in the corkscrew crew Borrelia burgdorferi, the spirochetal bacteria that, yes, indeed, is mostly for the large part susceptible to the antibiotics like doxycycline. Most people that get Lyme disease can be successfully treated with a course of antibiotics. I've never said otherwise. I've never said otherwise. I've said that antibiotics don't do shit for Morgellons. For me, I know some of you out there have used antibiotics successfully who continue to use them, maybe with just partial success, and who just really think that they help you. And thank God you have found something that helps you or that even maybe has cured you. I don't know. But I have said for me, antibiotics don't do shit. Lyme disease. I don't even fucking talk about Lyme disease on this show except to say that it's not Morgellons as far as I can tell. As far as I can tell, I make no absolute claims ever, and I've been clear about that on every episode of this show. My fixation on Morgellons? No, wait, let's go back to the very first sentence about you are undoubtedly smarter than your listeners. No, I'm really fucking blown away and impressed by how intelligent the listeners I've met, at least, those who have contacted me, just how bright and clear thinking that they are. They are detectives. They are good writers, good speakers, witty, funny, cool fucking people. So before you characterized me as this Machiavellian, self-serving, scheming scumbaguette, and my audience as a bunch of gullible, easy to trick, fool, lie to, idiots, let's like unpack that for a minute. No. No, if anything, I would think that anybody out there who has Morgellons and listens to this show, if they have learned nothing else, they have learned not to read a book by its cover, not to take things at face value, and to always question what people say and try to look for what are the real answers. We are truth seekers. We are sojourners of truth. We are not the sheeple that you are characterizing, right? And I am not the satanic fucking overlord of such sheeple. No, we are Morgies. Anyhow, what else was I saying that was like, oh yeah, all the fucking armchair psycho babble bullshit. Wow. Morgulons is my fixation. I'm fixated on it, and it's not actual like physical materials coming out of my skin and causing lesions. It's actually just unhealed trauma. No. Everyone has had trauma in their life, including me. Is it healed? It's healing every day. That's the truth, because that's the destiny that I direct. I don't control the trauma that has come to me through fate, but I choose to heal with your help. Here we build the healing because I choose my destiny. So let's put that in the forefront and also reject yet again someone who doesn't fucking have Morgulons telling me that I'm delusional, that it's a fixation, that it's all in my head. Nope. Yeah, remember the other episode, the other day in that episode, I'm talking to Tom. By the way, as soon as I read the phrase ticking Tom bomb, I was like, is this fucking Amelia? That, I don't think I've ever said that on this show, but I definitely have used that nickname back when she and I were dating a few years ago. So I already suspected it, but just in case it wasn't Amelia the stalker, I was like, I don't want to like answer back to this lady's really thoughtful, well-written email, even though it's kind of bullshit and you don't know me, bitch. But like, I wanted to, you know, just in case, I wanted to be like, wow, thanks for, you know, let's talk more. And I knew that would also be the test. Like, if she won't talk to me more, then it's probably Amelia. Lo and behold, and needless to say, it's not probably, it definitely was not a listener, and was in fact the latest attempt to control and oppress me. And you're like, what? Control and oppress you? What does that have to do with stalking? Let me further pontificate the point. So I was in group therapy last night. I started in 2021, as she well knows. And anyway, I highly recommend social therapy to all of you out there. I'm trying with this show to practice a form of it. Yes, it is remote, but also we get together, not just in this virtual sphere, but right here. Yes, I want to remind you that this spring, the Morgie Mixer is gonna be at my house, Well, I don't know if it's gonna be like all at my house. I'm sure some of you guys will come over to my house, and I can't wait for you to come. Not you, quote Lolita, not you. But all the other listeners out there, like the real ones, not the fake ones, I am not isolated in a remote and anonymous community. I know y'all. Y'all, we talked on the phone. We've hung out in Austin, Texas. We've hung out in San Francisco. We've hung out in Atlanta. And we're gonna hang out again in Atlanta. Because we are really doing this. We're not just victims sitting at home dealing with our unhealed trauma. Some of us are dealing with it in the way that I can guarantee you works better than any other way, and that is we're doing it together. Because sitting in a bathroom by yourself with tweezers, with insane fucking shit coming out of your face and your hair moving like it's a goddamn Medusa worm or some kind of fiber optic nano. I don't even know how to explain it. It's so, you don't get it unless you get it. What can I say? But it is enough to, it's so bizarre that it would freak any sane person out. Dealing with that alone is just, no, y'all, it's not an option for me. I want to be alive and I want to thrive. And I want that for all of you too. So let's do it together. We can't do it.
Mind control stuff, like the biggest guard against that is being aware that it could be happening.
Like, it is.
Humble and understanding that, like, these things are out there. There's potential for so much manipulation that it's not even funny.
I was gonna say, like, one of the things I've been thinking about a lot recently is, I don't know what to make of the gang stalked people and stuff, but a more poetic, like, rendering of that experience is that, like,
I think those people were like early realizers. We are all being gang-stalked. There is so much about being constantly surveilled, constantly manipulated, fucked with.
It is modernity. It is what Ted Kaczynski warned us about. It's what, you know, Big Brother, 1984, George Orwell warned us about. You know, it's just incredibly, like, it's relevant. And it's like, what point can you say it's paranoia? No, actually it's not. Like, it's actually a fact that we are all being surveilled against our wishes, you know?
It's like, that's for sure.
And it's making the scope of our living smaller and smaller, more restricted and more restrictive.
Yeah.
Or well, careful.
Because it talks about, all right, so these people, like, is Barry...
Tonko is going to now describe at length an X-Files episode. I think it's about Scully being mind-controlled by the phone.
Mm-hmm. And they
what's a silly scope? Is that something that measures my funniness?
You know, it's those electronic things that wiggle and shows
shows, what does it measure?
Voltage. Yeah, you've seen them. I mean...
Electricity.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
oscilloscope.
Yeah.
I have got a silly scope, but I'll tell you about that. Okay. Go on. Yeah. It's funny.
And then,
you're gonna laugh, but anyway.
But then, Scully, like, got, you know, was subjected to it.
Mm-hmm.
And she played, like, the role of somebody in that paranoid, like,
gang-stalked.
Like, so, maybe because I felt like I was there before, you know, but... It was like, it was just so, like, I don't know. It was like, all of a sudden, she's looking at Mulder. She's like, you know, you're, like, she was totally, like, she didn't trust anybody. It was clear as day to her. Like, it was realer than real in that thing. Of course, it was delusional from the outsider, but to her, it was really, you could just feel that, you know what I mean? And you know, acting on it, like, you know, trying to shoot you, like, in the...
Yeah, it's interesting because... I'm thinking about what we were talking about earlier about how we know that China controls the drug trade, you know, the black market, and they have for a long time now, I guess, based upon that Blood Money book, you know, it sounds like about 2 decades or so minimum.
Yeah.
And it's a very direct response to the opium wars and their revenge and comeuppance on that and all that. I mean, it's definitely an agenda, using drugs to debilitate and, you know.
Right.
And it's like in the drugs, whether it be, you know, heroin or meth or weed or... Here's the other thing I know is that I know for sure that people who... do drugs have quit drugs after getting morgues trying to get it out of their system, suspecting that in fact that was the manner it was introduced to their body, and they still have morgues because it can trigger obsessive compulsive focus on things. And if that's focus is a negative aspect, whether it just be neuroticism or insecurity, which often I would think we could, if you amp that up, you know, stimulate the central nervous system, it's going to become paranoia. And isolation, again, is so huge because, like, only a person who's isolated can be constantly thinking, oh, they're all after me. It's like, no one gives a shit what you're doing.
Right.
Like, you know, but it's like, in a way, though, there's just so many layers to the whole, because morgues is of itself a weird kind of stalking. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like they're everywhere you go. It doesn't matter what environment you're in. It's like they're everywhere. And like they're in you. They're controlling your hair somehow. Like, I mean, it's like it's the most intimate, crazy stalking ever.
Exactly. We're not on this.
And they are everywhere. They literally are.
That whatever I experienced was not delusional. It was like real.
Yeah.
Like there was something going on. But then I think, maybe there's nothing, magical about delusional. Like, I mean, in other words, it's not, I was thinking, these are about some kid history or something, I don't know, right?
Right. Like out of touch with reality.
My definition, whatever their experience is, simply that aspect is real. Like, and we call it delusional. To them, it's not delusional. I don't know. I'm not there, you know? Like,
I don't know, but...
Sometimes they're imagining it, so how can you tell? Like, it's hard.
That's true. That, I mean, but I think, like, a delusional person wouldn't struggle with that tension. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they're describing something that's a pathological... Delusional means that an unshakable fixed belief that in spite of any introduction of new or better evidence, yeah, it remains the same. And right, like, I don't think that a delusional person would even recognize that, like, that some of what they're in, you know, the midst, yeah, of is not correct. And, right, and there are better explanations or whatever, or there's just not enough there to, like, call it that,
right,
you know?
But, like, a great stroke. Like, that was just because I have, like, a certain philosophy of,
yeah,
like,
me too. I share it. That. Yeah.
Like,
I
in the midst of it, at least, you know? Like, but you can do it.
You can do it. The more cerebral you are, it's like, it could help you or could hurt you. I don't know.
It can, yeah, if you're willing to trust the logic and not your eyes and feelings, like, because that's what it takes.
Well, but
and then
that's,
you're going against what you're,
I think that that is not exactly the way I would describe it, because, like,
no, yeah,
the things I've seen with my eyes are not logical.
You know, I guess it's more like, actually, there's a feeling, I guess, too.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I also think, though, that it's like, I don't, after a certain,
I know
point
what you're talking about,
that, like, that feeling, I feel like, goes away when the novelty of how insane
exactly
the shit is.
About.
Like, it's
and
like, oh, God, okay, well, there's just more black shit coming out of my fucking face again, or whatever. It's like, you, I've got really desensitized, you know, like.
Well, that's where it's hard to be reasonable, because, like, being emotional, like, it's kind of naturally
take, like, it's free. The idea of it. Hi, Crystal. My name is Sarah. I am not good at this whole voice memo thing, but I'm a new listener, sort of. I've had more geese for just about as long as you, and I want to say thank you for being you. I would listen to you if you were not talking about this awful whatever this is, but you know, there's a line in a song called Tear Off the Roof by Brandon Lake, and it goes, reaching out my hand to get the healing. I got a faith beyond the bleeding. I didn't come here to hide in the crowd. I don't think you came to hide in the crowd, and neither did I. You know, we're going to kick this thing's butt. So, yeah, I'd love to connect with you. I'm going to leave my number. Bye. Thanks.
All right, listeners, stay tuned for season 13. We will soon be hearing Sarah's story and hopefully yours. If you'd like to share your story on More Morgulons, write an email to moremorgulons@gmail.com or click the link in the show description to leave a voice message or voice messages. We can't wait to hear from you. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.